Hello, and welcome to Get In We're Going Healing, a place where we talk about mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being to help you learn to let go of the things that are holding you back from being your best, your greatest, your most authentic you. Today, what I'd like to talk about is tone policing and the triggers that it causes and whose responsibility that actually is. So now, like many people in the Gen X, elder millennial, even millennial group, many of us grew up with parents who didn't listen to the things we had to say. They didn't care. We were just kids. We had no opinions as far as they were concerned. Our opinions were just childish and silly, and we weren't allowed to say what we meant. We weren't allowed to say how we felt. We were expected to do and obey and just do as we were told. And if we did not, we were punished. That was pretty much the standard. I mean, you had a few outliers of parents who were good parents. And I don't mean to say that our parents were bad, but when I say good parents, I mean parents who understand what parents do now. That children need to have a voice. They need to have an opportunity to speak up, to say how they feel, to say no if they mean no. It's not about obeying. It's about existing and building bonds and connection while also setting boundaries and upholding boundaries. Now, this was nothing that I knew when I was a kid, as is the case for many people of my generation. So that means that many of us have a lot of triggers when it comes to being shouted at, when it comes to how people speak to us. And this is what I feel has led to the stereotype of millennials being, and I give very big air quotes here, snowflakes, as per the boomer generation and the mindset they have. Now, my opinion on this is it comes down to understanding that many of us are often triggered by things that other people say and do that essentially mimic the way that we were treated when we were children, which then triggers a wound that is already pre-existing and then causes us to react to the touching of that wound, to the pain that it causes. Now, I find in a lot of cases, the triggers are often things like being unworthy, being undervalued, being treated as if we are not worthy or valuable, or that our opinions or feelings have any merit whatsoever. Because like I said, that's how the adults in our lives treated us when we were children. So of course, as an adult, if another adult were to make you feel those same feelings, that would trigger the child version of you who felt that and trigger that child to want to respond in a way that you wish you could have when you were a child, but were not permitted to for fear of consequence. Now, what does that have to do with tone policing? The term tone policing, I find, is often used when someone is trying to say your tone is the problem. It's not the words you're saying, it's the tone that you're using. And this is often valuable. This is often true and accurate that many people, there's a difference between saying, oh, good job, really good job, and oh, good job, sarcastically. Now, I don't know what kind of parents you had, but my mother was a very sarcastic person. So you were never really sure if you were actually receiving a compliment or if you were receiving a sarcastic compliment, which meant she meant the opposite. Now, more often than not, sarcasm was her go-to. And so for me, sarcasm was a big trigger. When people were being sarcastic to me, that was a big trigger. So often in the concept of tone policing, we are telling people that we don't want them to speak to us that way. Now, that's good in a sense that we can set boundaries and say, hey, you may not speak to me that way. If you want to speak to me, these are the ways you can speak to me. And that's good. The problem with tone policing is it's not boundaries. Okay, there is a difference. Tone policing is essentially more the person is kind of whining about it, for lack of a better term. And here's the difference. When you set a boundary, you are firm and you are saying, this is how you may treat me. This is how you may speak to me. If you continue to treat me or speak to me in this way, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave. I'm going to not talk to you. I'm going to cut connection with you. I'm going to limit connection with you. I'm going to walk away. Those are all things that are within your power to control when you're setting a boundary. And you can say, hey, you can't talk to me like that. And when the other person says, well, so what? What if I do? A boundary isn't about controlling the other person. It's saying, here's my limit. And if my limit is crossed, here's how I'm going to respond to that limit. Now, in tone policing, why I say that it's somewhat on the whiny side is because it's often saying, I don't like it when you talk to me like that. I don't want you to talk to me like that. Excuse me. And that is a controlling behavior. That is trying to make the other person do what you want them to do or not do what you don't want them to do. But that's not a boundary, as we said. A boundary is about what you're going to do. You set your line. You say, this is what is acceptable and this is what is not. And when the person, if or when the person chooses to cross your boundary, because it is always a choice, when the person chooses to cross your boundary, how you yourself are going to respond. So tone policing isn't about how you yourself is going to respond. It's about, I don't want to be spoken to that way. You can't talk to me like that. Don't talk. I don't like your tone. Change your tone. It's about changing someone else. And at that point, it's a manipulation tactic, right? You're trying to get someone to change the way they're doing something to make you more comfortable. That is not a boundary. That is control. And I believe that tone policing is control. Now, is it justified in that you are reasonably, it's a reasonable reaction to say, I don't like to be spoken to like that? Yeah, it's a totally reasonable response. And if someone says something to you in a way that your parent used to, it absolutely might just trigger you. It absolutely might bring back to your recall, bring to your memory a time when an authority figure or a parent or a caregiver or a friend or somebody in your life created that wound in the first place. When they said something in a way that made you feel unloved, unworthy, not valued, all those things that create our wounds. So it makes sense that if someone else were to basically recreate that sensation in you, that would make you feel all those feelings. And it makes sense that the younger version of you who was originally wounded would want to come to the rescue and say, hey, you can't talk to me like that. Don't use that tone with me. How dare you use that tone with me? How dare you speak to me that way? But when you use the word, how dare you, right? I don't know about you. My mother used that a lot. How dare you? It's from a position of trying to control the other person. And we've spoken about that before, about you have no control over other people. None. Zero. You can try to exert control, but it's all false control. It's not, you literally have no control over what anyone else does. They might listen to you. They might not. Right? You don't have control over that. So when you say, how dare you? You're trying to manipulate and control the other person to doing what you want them to do, to speaking to you in the way that you want them to speak to you, but by using control, by using volume, by using manipulation. How dare you? How dare you speak to me that way? How dare you take that tone with me? Right? When someone is tone policing, and you see this a lot on the internet, I am very aware of this in comments, in responses. People have to do a reply to something. And it's often policing the tone of the other person, saying your tone is all wrong. The way you're saying it is all wrong. The way that you're delivering it is all wrong. But what if you're the one who's misinterpreting it? What if to you it comes off in a negative way, but the person who's doing it does not mean it that way? In the same way that those who have been traumatized, those who had childhood abuses, can often see malice or anger or other expressions in a neutral face, whereas other people see a neutral face as just neutral. Someone who has experienced abuse is going to see a neutral face as a hostile face. It doesn't make the neutral face hostile. It means their interpretation of the neutral face is hostile. So by that very token, someone who has experienced abuses at the hands of caregivers, adults, is going to see a tone that might not necessarily be hostile and interpret it as such, and then respond as if it were hostile. Again, people writing texts on comments and things like that. There's no specific tone per se, but the way that you read it in your mind is what's going to give the emotional reaction. So if that's the case, if the tone of someone's writing creates an emotional response in us, whose responsibility is it? The person who wrote it or the person who interpreted it as such? So this is the question: whose responsibility is it? And when we're talking about the path of healing, the responsibility of the answer to whose responsibility is it is very clear. You are responsible for your thoughts, emotions, and reactions. So even if somebody says something or does something that evokes a particular emotional response in you, it is not their fault, even if they are genuinely trying to hurt you. Okay, let's say they are genuinely trying to hurt your feelings. It's still not their fault. And I say this, and I know that this is going to cause some backlash for people, but I'm being absolutely serious here. It is not someone else's responsibility to control your emotional state. That is always, always your responsibility. Even if someone does something that creates upset for you, you are ultimately the one in charge of your actions, your thoughts, and your emotions. It goes kind of like with this proverb I read somewhere, this story, where it talks about a kung fu master was working with one of his students, and his student said, something about to the effect of taking offense to something. And the teacher, the master, says to him, if someone gives you a gift and you refuse to accept it, to whom does the gift belong? And the student thought about it for a second and said, well, it would belong to the person who's giving it then. If the person who's receiving it doesn't receive it, then the person who's giving it continues to keep it. Therefore, it belongs to that person. And the master said, okay, by the same token, if someone gives you an insult and you refuse to accept it, to whom does the insult belong? By the same token, it would be to the giver. The person who's giving the insult is who it belongs to. And on that same vibe, there's another quote that says, you do not have to attend every argument that you are invited to. So with that in mind, when someone says something that triggers you, uses a tone in which causes upset for you, who is responsible for your emotional upset? The person who used that tone or you? And I mean, it's kind of a silly question because obviously, as we've talked about and as you're learning on this path of healing, you are the one who is responsible for your emotional reactions. And if someone says something, let's say for a simple example, insults you, let's say calls you stupid. All right. Someone says, oh, you're so stupid. Is it your responsibility to take that tone, to accept that, and then take it into yourself that, oh, maybe I am stupid? Because if you're responsible for your own emotions and you get a handle on your emotions and you get a handle on your thoughts and you understand that people are essentially reflecting their own inner thoughts outward, then you begin to understand that that person who called you stupid ultimately themselves feels that inside they are stupid, or that someone has said those exact words to them and they are just reflecting their pain from inside back out, then it's not yours. You're not actually stupid. They're saying that because they are triggered and that was spoken to them and they are reflecting it out to you and making you responsible for that because they didn't get what they wanted, which often was a case because someone in their life, most likely an adult, didn't get what they wanted and called that person stupid when they were a child, thus perpetuating the cycle. So whose pain is it? Is it yours or is it theirs? Well, it would most likely be theirs, and it's their work to do to investigate why they feel the need to call other people stupid. Now, you can take it. You can take that in and feel hurt by it, either internalize it and be like, am I stupid? Am I really stupid? This person called me stupid. Am I really stupid? You can have your internal dialogue and rebel against it. I'm not stupid. Why do they call me stupid? They're such a jerk. Why did they say that to me? They're so awful. Why do they need to speak to me like that? It's not okay. And it's not okay. However, if you follow the story that I told about accepting something, and if you don't accept it, who does it belong to? If you recognize that you are not stupid because you have good self-worth, you've developed good self-worth, good self-value, good self-talk, right? Good self-love. You know that you're not stupid. The next step is seeing that that person said that to you because they feel that way. Now, you don't have to go to the whole side of compassion in the sense of saying, you know, I know you only called me stupid because you feel that on the inside, because that comes off as patronizing, even though it is true. And even though you can see that, when people are unwilling to see that, they see that as you just speaking down to them because they can't see that you actually mean it, that I know that you say that because somewhere inside you, someone called you stupid. And so you're reflecting that back out. It is true, but you're not doing anybody any favors pointing that out because they won't be able to hear you. They won't be able to understand you and they won't take it that way. They will take it as an insult and you speaking down to them and patronizing them. I know from experience, both on being on either side of the spectrum, being on the receiving end and on the giving end of that one. So your better bet is to say, yeah, I understand why you might think that, but I don't like to be spoken to that way. Please don't speak to me like that. Or at the very, you don't even have to go that far. You can say, I can see that you're having a rough day, so I'm going to go. I can see that you're impatient today, and I can see that you're not in a place of hearing. I'm going to go. And remove yourself. Right? So we don't have to police someone's tone. We don't have to tell them their tone is incorrect. We can stand up for ourselves and be specific about, please don't speak to me that way. Please don't talk to me that way. Please don't call me names. I don't want to be treated that way. Please don't speak to me like that. And if the other person cannot follow that, that's, again, this is the boundaries. This is where you decide how you're going to respond should someone continue to behave that way, even after you've asked them not to. But we don't have to try to control other people by policing their tone, policing their words. That's not within us to control. We don't have control over that. We only have control about ourselves, how we respond, how we react, what we're going to do, and whether or not we internalize the things that they are saying to us and take it in and feel the pain and let it trigger our wounds and let it trigger the pain and let it, you know, all the things that go along with when someone hurts us. But we don't have to let them hurt us. We can set boundaries, but we can also know our own value and our worth and not accept those kind of messages inward. So this is a thought that came to me. I was just sitting around and I was thinking about this phrase of tone policing, and I just wanted to share those thoughts with you. So I hope that this message brought some help to someone. and was able to give you a little more perspective on things like that and maybe help you step away from the need to control another person's way of expressing themselves. And I hope that this helped you working through your own stuff as you think about it, consider it, look into it, and ask yourself, am I policing people's tones? Am I trying to control other people? And then dig a little deeper. Why am I controlling other people? Why am I trying to do that? What part of me was hurt? What part of me was triggered and activated when they did that? And then go in and speak to that part. If you're not familiar with parts work, I have episodes on parts work. Maybe check that out. Learn a little bit more about how to speak to your parts, how to connect with them, how to hear them out, how to give them a voice, how to soothe them, all that good jazz. That is in the rest of the episodes somewhere in season 3. So I hope that this gave you some clarity and some understanding. And until next time, keep letting go of the things that are holding you back from being your best, your greatest, your most authentic you. Love and light. Bye.